Hello and welcome to 7 Days of Gaming, the biggest stories from the last week in the PC gaming world. I'm your host Alex Pace, and this episode covers the week from the 27th of July to the 3rd of August, 2017. We've got EA and Take-Two continue to make tons of cash, Tencent invest in UK games, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds adds microtransactions, Stardew Valley multiplayer, and esports comes to the BBC. Let's get to it. Minecraft's former production director, business director, and producer, Daniel Kaplan, has moved over to Coffee Stain Publishing, who produced both Goat Simulator and Sanctum. Coffee Stain aimed to be a better companion to development studios, quote, pushing projects towards successes under balanced and fair conditions. Kaplan will be Coffee Stain's business developer, assisting him with the work being done on a selection of currently unannounced games. While at Mojang, he worked on the console and mobile editions of the games made there, as well as securing new business opportunities. EA is still making bags of money, with the latest financial earnings report showing they are making even more bags than they were before. Earnings in the last quarter alone amounted to a record $1.45 billion, up $18 million from the same quarter last year. Digital sales are on the rise as well, totaling $3.15 billion over the last 12 months, 63% of the overall company sales. The digital sales are also up 23%, showing a continuing shift away from physical copies. These numbers also include consoles on other platforms, and EA puts the success down to event-based live service games. Anything regarding Mass Effect Andromeda was thankfully not mentioned. Someone else making tons of cash is Take-Two Interactive, with GTA Online having its best quarter so far. Revenue from digitally delivered content has risen 72% over the same period last year, with GTA Online contributing the most through recurrent consumer spending. Things will also continue as normal for both GTA Online and GTA 5, with Take-Two stating it is necessary to extend the life of both games. The company made $1.3 billion in total over the last fiscal year. They also hinted at a new title coming up, saying it was from one of 2K's biggest franchises. BioWare Montreal and EA Motive Studios have undergone a merger, continuing under Motive's name. BioWare Montreal were put on a Mass Effect hiatus after the release of Andromeda, saying they were now working on other BioWare titles. Casey Hudson will head the studios, with the current project being Star Wars Battlefront 2. Chinese media giant Tencent is continuing to spread its tendrils around the world, this time investing in two UK-based studios. They bought a 9% share in Elite Dangerous developers Frontier for over $22 million, and surprisingly invested an undisclosed amount in Milky Tea, a small studio currently making their third game, Hyper Brawl Tournament. Milky Tea described the investment as a turning point, a dream come true that will allow them to make the kind of high-quality games they've dreamed of making. Game designer and BioWare veteran Corey Gasper has suddenly passed away. Over 9 years at the company, he contributed to games ranging from Mass Effect 2 and 3 to Dragon Age to Anthem, and also taught part-time at the Northern Alberta Institute of Technology. Quote from BioWare reads, "Corey was a talented designer and an even better person. We offer our condolences to Corey's family and everyone that knew him." A fund has been set up to support his nearly 4-year-old son, Kane. To date, more than 200 donors have given $40,000 towards the cause. Over 1 billion items have now been uploaded to Steam, inclusive of screenshots, videos, guides, workshop items, and the rest. While the billionth item has unfortunately been either deleted or removed, the next closest item, a city's skylines map 10,827 places later, is still online. The 100 millionth file was uploaded in 2012, and the 100th file was uploaded in 2011. This also means that all items uploaded to the Steam community will now have a 10-digit long ID. In game release and update news, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds has had a busy week. First off, it surpassed Fallout 4 for the most concurrent players in a non-Valve game, making it third under Dota 2 and CSGO. Secondly, creator Brendan Green went against his word and added microtransactions while the game was still in early access. Players can now unlock a single item crate for $2.50, with multiple crates having to be purchased to make up a full 4-piece set. The community has erupted, both over the price and over the broken promise. Green responded, saying the cosmetics are a test that will influence the final system, Quote, "We have a great data science team. They look at the Steam marketplace, and we really want to create a system. It has to be a good economy, and that's not always going to be what everyone wants. Everyone wants free stuff. We think monetization is something games kind of have. We want this game for up to 5 or 10 years. We're not going to be selling 5 million copies every few months or whatever. There has to be a way to keep our servers running and to keep the company going so we can add new content and this kind of stuff." He also stresses that the items are purely cosmetic and do not impact on gameplay. Several days later, Green issued an apology on the clarity of communication around the issue and said the feedback is definitely being discussed internally. Thirdly, Green has said the game will likely open up to modders and those who want to run dedicated servers. However, this will take time, as releasing a server package means exposing a whole load of files that would open the game up to piracy. Green says it will take some time to make sure things are properly protected. Lastly, players now have the option of playing in first-person view, being matched up with other players who have made the same choice to prevent an unfair advantage. Ubisoft is working on improving For Honor in a bid to bring players back to the game. Two updates in August and November will add new heroes, maps, gears, and features including ranked tournaments, as well as allowing players to run their own dedicated servers. The dedicated servers will hopefully eliminate many of the connective issues players are experiencing, moving away from the current client host system. Game director Damian Kaiken says moving over to dedicated servers is like changing the engine of a car while it runs, and a strict deadline has not yet been made. It is likely the change won't be seen until after the November update. Civilization VI has released its summer update, bringing a host of fixes and improvements like a restart button, small changes to UI elements, multiplayer stability and AI, and various balances for buildings and civilizations. Also released was a new DLC featuring the Nubia civilization, ancient neighbors of the Egyptians, who build ranged units faster and can collect more resources than usual from mines. A scenario is also included, pitting Nubia and Egypt against each other for control of the Nile. The update also contained the worrying phrase, "improved desire to use nukes." This has actually resulted in a bug, where no matter the historical era you are currently in, other civilizations will ask you why you aren't building or using nukes. Battlefield 1 is still going strong, with now over 21 million people having played the game. A new expansion, In the Name of the Tsar, brings maps, game modes, weapons, and vehicles centered around the Russian army this September. An esports mode will also be added, addressing issues with the more chaotic 64-player battles, with details to be revealed at Gamescom on the 22nd of August. In anticipation of the new players that will join the game during and after this year's The International, Valve have updated Dota 2 to make it easier on new players who have just started learning the game. Players can now only choose from a curated selection of 20 heroes for their first 25 games. The heroes have been chosen based on data insights and investigations into which ones help players to learn the game mechanics and enjoy themselves at the same time. Newbies will also be matched up with not only those who have similar skill levels, but also those who have a consistently positive social track record. Stardew Valley's multiplayer mode will come early next year, with a beta period towards the end of this year. The mode will be a co-op version of the single-player experience, with up to 3 other players joining you on your farm. Friends, also known as farmhands, can do nearly anything you can do, such as mining, fighting, foraging, and marrying, both NPCs and other players. Farmhands can also participate in festivals, although the original player will be the only one who can control the specifics. It will be online only, and doesn't require you to do anything like set up a server, instead utilizing Steam's invite system. PvP isn't currently something that will occur, and neither will local multiplayer and split screen. Survival game The Long Dark has now sold well over 1 million copies, as well as releasing the first 2 episodes of its anticipated story mode. Along with this announcement, it has been revealed the title will soon join the growing list of games that also have a film. The script is being written by Raphael van Leerop, the founder of Hinterland Games, and also has input from Jeremy Bolt, the producer on Resident Evil. Van Leerop says, "My goal with Hinterland, starting with The Long Dark, has always been to create original entertainment properties that could span multiple mediums, exploiting the storytelling potential of each form. Partnering with Jeremy on this project is the first step in achieving that vision of true cross-platform storytelling in the world of The Long Dark." The second expansion for Guild Wars 2 has been revealed. Path of Fire will launch on the 22nd of September and comes with 5 open world zones, 9 elite specializations, and mounts that you can ride through the world. 2 areas are from previous games, with Crystal Desert from the original Guild Wars and Elon from Guild Wars Nightfall. The storyline sees players come up against the god of war and fire, Balthazar, in an effort to stop him from hunting the Elder Dragons. It costs $30, although pre-purchasing will also grant you some in-game items. There is also a short period of time in August where players can try the expansion for free. In esports news, the Overwatch Apex Season 3 saw South Korean team Lunatic High beat fellow countryman Kongdu Panthera 4-3, winning $92,000. 15 other teams competed. At the StarCraft II IEM Season 12 in Shanghai, South Koreans Rogue and Hero went head-to-head, with Rogue coming out well on top, winning 4-1. He took home 10 grand. Team USA came out the victors in the Rocket League World Cup, beating Finland 4-1. The fame was granted greater influence than the money, with a small $5,000 prize pool shared between the top three teams. 16 countries competed in total. In a first for the company on this scale, the BBC will be showing the Gfinity Elite League Series 1 3 days a week over 6 weeks on BBC Three. The event has CSGO, Street Fighter and Rocket League tournaments, with a close to $300,000 prize pool. An overall winner will be declared, along with the winners for each game. An Australian reality TV series has been revealed that will follow 40 amateur League of Legends players over 5 days as they compete to see who is the best esports player. Tournaments and challenges will whittle the group down to 5, who will then go up against the top teams in the Oceania region. The overall winner will receive $10,000 and a 6-month contract with LG Direwolves. Filming will take place from mid-August to September. The top sellers on Steam this week were PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, Dark and Light, Citadel, Forge with Fire, CSGO, Car Mechanic Simulator 2018, Doom, Dream Daddy, GTA 5, and Pyre. Finally, my favourite story of the week was, a bug in the latest patch has resulted in all the characters in MOBA Heroes of the Storm deciding to spontaneously grow moustaches. Every single character, male or female, now sport a moustache and or beard combo of varying size and colour. An alternative theory on Reddit is this isn't actually a mistake, and is instead either a promotion for new content or preparation for International Talk Like a Pirate Day, which is on the 19th of September. You can become a patron of the show at patreon.com/7daysofgaming. Get snazzy rewards and perks in return for everything you donate, going towards improving quality and equipment. Whoever signs on before we reach $20 a month will enter into the Hall of Fame, where you can have two links of your choosing displayed on the website. Thanks a bunch for listening to the episode. You can check out the show at 7daysofgaming.com and sign up for the email list, where you get a new podcast in your inbox every week. Make sure you're subscribed on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow me on Twitter at 7_D_G, leave a like on the Facebook page, and join the Steam group. The show is also on YouTube. It's quick and easy to find if you don't have access to your usual podcast device. Any kind of feedback is very welcome. Feel free to leave a review on iTunes and say what you think about the show, or drop by the website and leave me a note. I might even read it out on the next episode. Share the show around with anyone you know who's interested in PC gaming. Keep them current. Thanks to Rocco W for the music, and see you next week.